Let's just pray one more time. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would come upon me in power tonight as I bring this subject to these men, Lord, and I pray that it would be so much more than an intellectual exercise, but Lord, that it would pierce into our hearts and that your Spirit would come and convict us of what we need to be convicted of. Lord, I don't know what these men here need to hear tonight, but you've given me this word to give to them. I pray that it would bring encouragement and that it would bring life, Lord, because it is part of your gospel. And we pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Acts chapter 1, let's start a little bit back in verse 6. And it reads, "So when they had come together," this is the disciples, the apostles, "they were asking him," asking Jesus, "saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. There was a father who sat his children down, and he said to his children, "Now, children, I need to go away for a little while." And the children were disappointed. They loved their father, of course. But he said to them, "I've got with me in my bag, I have stuffed animals, stuffed horses. And I need to go away so that I can go do some business and bring back horses to you." Now, this was in the days before cars and automobiles, and most transportation was done by horses. So it'd be like saying that he was going to get them a car. So the father left, and the children were excited. They were excited about getting their new horses. But as time went on, and the father was gone, as days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into months, the children soon began to forget about why their father had left, and they had started to wonder if their father was even able to bring them horses or not. So they became disappointed, and they started to question their father. But after a while, their father returned with not just horses, but other things, carriages and other toys for the children to play with. He had done what he said he would do. Jesus has ascended into heaven, and he has told us things that he is going to do in heaven. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 says that Christ did not enter into the holy place, into the heavenly holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God, and hear this, on our behalf. On our behalf. Jesus entered into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven right now for us. For us. Now the ascension, if you know anything about it or if you've read it, it's a little bit out there for us to think of Jesus going up into the sky almost like a rocket ship. It's odd, and I think it was odd for the people who actually saw it, who saw Jesus rise up and go into the clouds. It's something we don't talk about often. But Jesus is there on our behalf, working on our behalf. And I want to walk through some of these things that Jesus is doing right now on our behalf as he has ascended into heaven. And the first thing I want to say is that Jesus has ascended on our behalf in order to offer himself to the Father as a sacrifice for us. Now you might be wondering, Jesus, he died on the cross. Isn't that enough? And yes, it is enough. He has died and he has accomplished the redemption for us. But you almost have to go back to the Old Testament and into the sacrifices and the sacrificial system of how the sacrifices worked in the Old Testament. And Hebrews, just like I read, says that the Old Testament is a shadow of the reality of Jesus Christ. But there was a special day called the Day of Atonement that the Hebrew people celebrated and the Jewish people today celebrate called Yom Kippur. And what would happen on Yom Kippur, it happened every year, is that the priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, into the temple, and he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. And this would be an attempt and a reality to wipe the sins off the whole people of the land of Israel. What's that? The mercy seat, which is on the Ark of the Covenant. Do you know what the Ark of the Covenant is? It's where the presence of the Lord God himself dwelled for the people of God. So when Moses went to the mercy seat, he spoke with the Lord God in the Old Testament. I don't know if you remember, he spoke into the Holy of Holies. This is where the manifestation of the presence of God was a reality, but which we're separated from because of our sin. And this is what the high priest did, is he entered in to sprinkle this blood to bring redemption, propitiation, forgiveness of sins for us, sins that we didn't know. But every year when this would happen, the Day of Atonement, the priest would offer these sacrifices and he would present them to the Holy of Holies. Every year something would happen. After he presented this, the people would sin. They would sin over and over again. So the Day of Atonement had to happen over and over and over again. But Jesus Christ has entered into heaven to offer himself as a sacrifice to the Father to pay for our sins, to purify us, that we too might enter into the Holy of Holies, to enter into heaven, that place where the presence of God dwells. But he doesn't have to do this over and over again. He's done this once and once for all.
Yes.
Hebrews continues to say that he goes into the presence of God on our behalf. It wasn't to offer himself repeatedly as a high priest who enters the holy place every year with blood not his own. For then he would have to have suffered repeatedly since the beginning of time, since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all to the end of the ages, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. First John, chapter 2, verse 1 says, that I write these things so that you may not sin. But John knows that we sin. So he says, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate, a helper, one who walks alongside with us in Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he himself is the propitiation. He's the one who covers our sin. And not only for ours, but for those of the whole world. So Jesus has entered into heaven for us, for our sins, to pay the penalty of our sins and to offer his sacrifice to the Father, that we might be reconciled to him. But there's another reason he ascended into heaven. Hear these words from John chapter 14. Jesus is speaking and he says, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He has ascended on our behalf to prepare a place for us in heaven. Now, my wife and I like to go on long journeys, in part because our families live so far away. But we like to get in a car and we like to drive long distances and visit friends and family across the country. But sometimes we're in the car for 17, 18 hours and the journey is long. And as we approach our friend's house, 17 hours away. The last 2 hours, all I'm thinking about is when I get there, I just want to jump in bed. I want to say hello and I want to go get in bed. But occasionally, when I go to visit a friend or visit some family, I'll get to the house and it'll be 2 or 3 in the morning and it'll have been a long day. And the bed isn't made. And the towels aren't set out for us to do the things we need to do. And I'm get so irritated when I come into a house after a long journey and I don't have a place to rest my feet. I don't have a place to rest my head. And then we have to take out the sheets and put the sheets on the bed and pull out the sofa or whatever we have to do. But Jesus, he says that after our long journey, he has a place prepared for us after this long journey, a place where we can put our feet up, a place where we will have all our needs met. There will be no lacking when we're in that place that he has prepared for us. But have you ever gone to visit a friend or a family member and gone out of your way to visit that friend, and that friend said to you, "Well, now make yourself at home, but I need to work. I'm going to be working all week, and I've got a thing one night, and I won't be able to spend much time with you." So instead of spending time with your friend or your family member, you end up spending time at their house, and you didn't really come thousands of miles to watch TV at their house. You came to visit them. But Jesus doesn't say that he goes to prepare a place for us only. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." He's going to prepare a place for us to be, and not only just leave us and leave the keys and tell us to go in by ourselves. He's going to be there to host us. He's going to give us food and feast us and bless us in every way. Where I am, there you may be also. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to Ephesians, we'll spend a little bit of time in Ephesians. Ephesians is Acts, it's after Acts, 4 or 5 books. Chapter 1, verse 18. And this is in the midst of a prayer that Paul is writing to the people in Ephesus. And he says in verse 18, he says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He has ascended on our behalf to sit at the right hand of the Father." Now, we don't have imagery of what it exactly means to sit at the right hand of somebody in our culture. But back in those days, in Jesus' days, to sit at somebody's right hand is to have that total and complete authority. It's almost as if to say that if you sat at the right hand of President Obama, you would be able to speak for Obama. You would be able to do all the things that President Obama did. You would have his power, his authority to do all those things. And this scripture says that Jesus ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of his Father. And he is one with the Father, and his authority is one with the Father. He is subjecting all things to under his feet. All things are becoming under his authority, and he is taking control of this out-of-control world. But how, as Hebrews says, is this for us? How is this on our benefit? And I want you to just turn one page over to Ephesians chapter 2, and to a real mystery and a powerful mystery. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 reads that, "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." And hear this. "And he raised us up with him, and he seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. He raised us up with him, and he seated us with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." This is past tense. It's been done. We are, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ, we are given that authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have become ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have become those people, just like if we were to sit at the right hand of Obama and to have his authority. We have the authority of Jesus Christ because he has ascended on our behalf. And what does he do with this authority? Jesus says in Matthew 28, right before he ascends, he says, "All authority has been given unto me. I sit at the right hand of the Father now." And he says, "Go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." He says, "Go, make disciples of all nations." He says, "Go, be my ambassadors and have my authority. Take my authority. In my name, you are to go." We have his authority. But this isn't enough. It's not enough just to have his authority. It's almost as if we were to go into a war without any weapons, to battle without any guns or tanks or anything to fight with. But Jesus doesn't leave us without weapons to fight with. Hear this another thing that Jesus does for us from John chapter 16. John chapter 16. In verse 7, he says, "I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the one who walks alongside us, he will not come to you. But if I go to ascend, I will send him to you. If I go into heaven, I will send the Holy Spirit to you." Do you remember that verse that we read at the very beginning? Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." You will receive power. The Holy Spirit has been sent. Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he empowers us to do his will, to be ambassadors, to have those weapons with which we cannot fight this war. We cannot do this on our own. Jesus says that apart from me, you can do nothing. But with Jesus Christ, we can do all things by the power of his Spirit. Jesus says in John 14, verse 12, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father." He has sent his Holy Spirit to empower us, to give us strength to do his will. And this is why we are told not to quench the Spirit by our sin and our disobedience. Because when we quench the Spirit, when we quench the Spirit of God, when we thrust him out of our lives, we don't have the power to do the Lord's will. But there's another aspect, and Nathan had brought this up a couple weeks ago when we talked about this, is Jesus sends his Holy Spirit and gives us access that we wouldn't have without that, without him sending his Spirit. You see, the disciples had Jesus beside them. They had walked with Jesus and they talked with Jesus, and we envy that, don't we? We envy being able to walk and talk with Jesus face to face. But if you'll remember that the disciples fought over the presence of Jesus. They fought each other trying to get in his presence because Jesus was a finite man who, he was God who came and took on flesh. He emptied himself and took on flesh. And he had these limitations. He couldn't talk to everybody and he couldn't interact with everybody. So there were hundreds of disciples following Jesus, but there were just 12 who could really get into his presence on a regular basis. And then among those 12, there were three who really, really got into the presence of Jesus in a powerful way. And there was one who really, John, who really became a beloved disciple. So the disciples had Jesus beside them. But believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have the Spirit of the living God dwelling within them. We have unlimited access to the Spirit of God because we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, from where we started in Acts chapter 1, let me just reread these verses for you. Starting in verse 10. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who was taken up from heaven, from you into heaven, he will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ descended on our behalf to show us how he will return one day. The Lord is going to return. All these problems that we have, all the world wars that we have, all the diseases, the earthquakes, the tornadoes, the Lord Jesus is going to return to set these things right, to restore this chaotic world. If the Lord gives me permission, I want to dwell on the coming, the return of the Lord the next time I preach. But just 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1, it says that when he returns, we will marvel at his return. We will not be able to keep our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear people talk about how CNN and Twitter are going to help everybody to be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns, but I just don't believe it. I think we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ for all he's worth when he returns. We're not going to need CNN. In fact, CNN's going to probably be shut off the station. Twitter is going to be silent because people are going to be seeing people raise up from the grave. We're not going to be watching our TV sets as the Lord returns. But he will set all things right. The Lord has ascended and he sits at the right hand of the Father on our behalf, on your behalf. He has all authority and he is using it to help, to encourage, to strengthen you, to strengthen me. He doesn't sit idly by. He doesn't sit far off. He is doing things for us. He cares for us. Even when we don't see him, even when we don't know what he's doing. Most of us haven't known these five things that I said about what Jesus is doing, but he's still doing them. And we don't know all the things that the Lord is particularly doing in our lives, but he is working in your lives. He is working in our lives. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for ascending and sending your Spirit, for presenting yourself as a sacrifice, for preparing a place for us. Lord, we thank you for giving us your authority and your Spirit, and we thank you that one day you will return to set things right. We pray that this will encourage us, that we will live more fully for you and in your power, Lord. Go with these men, Lord, and speak to them your word and your truth, and Lord, I pray that each man here would be touched by your Spirit tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.